Are we ready to start? I hope everybody had a good lunch. Post-lunch sessions are always interesting. If you guys had a good lunch, I have a tough job to keep you awake. And if you didn't have a good lunch, I have the awake guys having a tough job on me here. All right, thank you very much for making it to this session. My name is Alok Jain. I'm a principal program manager in the BizTalk team. I have my colleague Rajesh on the stage with me here. He's a pretty popular figure in the BizTalk community. I hope many of you know him. So earlier in the keynote session today, Vivek talked about BPM being one of the key solutions on top of BizTalk. Several of the customers have been using BPM in BizTalk for 5, 6, 10 years. Many people have built critical mission, critical workloads on top of BizTalk. Within Microsoft, we have some key processing running on BizTalk. Over the past several months, we talked to some customers, partners, and we figured out what are your top asks in this area, where do you want us to take it. So in this session, we're going to spend time looking at the building blocks of BPM and BizTalk, and what does the future look like. Before I begin, I want to put a note here. This session is about our early thinking. As we are talking, we are trying to form up our plans, trying to prioritize the features, and engineering has just started to kick tires. This session is more about direction. It's about some of the key decisions we are taking early on. It is not about the exact feature sets, about the dates when we are shipping. I want you to stay with us, help us define the future of BPM, and let us know what you think. We will have a Q&A towards the end of this session. After the session, we are going to hang around here or talk to us offline. Our aliases or email addresses are on the screen. Shoot us an email if you have, you know, some suggestions or something to look at. Okay, so the first part of the session, we're going to spend some time looking at some key terms in the BPM space. I understand many of you have been using BPM for years, but stay with us for 5-10 minutes to build this common foundation. This is how we look at BPM. This is the very cornerstone of our defining the future of BPM. So what is the business process? Any business is nothing but a composition of a bunch of business processes. A business process can be visualized as a sequence of tasks interspaced with decision making based on the data that's within the process itself. A business process could be long-running or short. It could be simple or complex based on the number of steps it takes or how many businesses it impacts. It could be based on a message or an event. When I say message, it means a message flows through the system. Every task takes a message, does something to it, passes on to somebody else. Event-based systems are trigger-oriented. You save a file in a folder, your BPM picks it up and shoots an email to all the people who are impacted. Among all these processes, there is something which is very common. Every business process has a specific input. It has a specific output, a bunch of tasks that lead you from the begin to end. And most importantly, each business process has a goal. In our day-to-day life, every day, we see business processes all around. Either you are providing an input into a business process, you're receiving an output, and most of the times we are performing a task within a process. When you guys registered for the event, you went to the portal, entered your name, company name, and did that. You kicked off a business process. The backend picked it up, printed those badges. Sorry. There was some blue based on what your role was, or speakers got a red badge. You booked your travel to Seattle. You went to a travel portal, provided the time you want to, date you want to travel, the hotel seat preferences and everything. In reality, you picked up a business process behind the scene. So let's quickly look at the portal that you would have interacted with. The purpose of this show is to just to build upon something as we talk through the process. So Rajesh is going to walk us through a typical business process portal, you know, of a travel booking thing that we will use to build on an example later on.
All right. Can you please switch to the camera? Okay, what you see here is a travel booking portal. The scenario here is there's a large enterprise corporation called Contoso where they have a travel booking portal for their employees. The employee logs in, gives the preferences, and then selects the booking options. So I pre-populated the portal with a bunch of values. I'll go ahead and hit the search. And what happens behind the scenes is that, okay.
All right. That's a real demo.
All right. We get the responses back. I'll come back to it. And so it pans out, calls the individual set of processes for airline booking, car rental, and flight booking, gets the results back and puts it together. And the whole process as to how you pan out to different processes and get the data back, that in itself is a process. And it's a typical pattern called scatter gather. As we move through towards the session, we will see how it's modeled and how it gets implemented.
Okay. So we warned you early. Don't be surprised if you see that again. Okay, so let me move to the next one. Can we switch, please?
Yeah.
All right, so next step. We heard about business process. So what is a business process management? There are multiple ways you can define it. For the purpose of this session, let's define it pretty simply. It is automating and managing a process to improve business performance. There are a few keywords here I want to elaborate on. The first one is automate. That puts a requirement on BPM to be able to model a business process and to be able to execute it. Pretty simple. The next one is managing. Here the requirement is that you should be able to manage a system in the runtime, which means you should be able to start a process at any time, you should be able to stop it, and you should also be able to configure it without impacting the process. The third requirement it puts on the keyword improve. It requires you to have an insight into the process. Look at the KPIs. Understand how your processes are doing. Understand the exceptions of the process. And then improve upon it, which requires you to go back to the modeling phase again, make changes, and run the process again, and the cycle loops over and over again. So the three concepts that we touched upon, any business process needs to follow. The first one is to be able to model it. Second is to be able to run it. And the third one is to, first one is to model, second is to run, third one is to monitor it. We're going to keep this concept as we move along. So how does a business process fit in an integration space? You can define the business process into three broad categories: document-centric, people-centric, and system-centric. SharePoint is a great example of a document-centric business process. I think all of us have seen it enough. The second category is a people-centric. This is where humans are involved, the long-running processes, CRMs. Anytime you generate a purchase order and wait for an approval from your manager. The third category is the system-centric or integration-centric. This is where when you need to move data from one system to another, from a purchase order from CRM into your ERP system. If you go back to the previous example that we talked about in travel booking, there was a core business process in the middle of it, which required your travel portal or your travel agent to take your booking and give it to airlines. That is a system-centric business process. But a bunch of things happened before that. You went to the portal, look at the quotes. Once you like the flight, you try to book it, it went for an approval to somebody else. And it ran through some business process, are you authorized to do it? Then we did the actual business process, and post that, close to your travel date, you got a notification from your travel portal, you know, your flight is delayed or it's on time. You finish your travel, you get a feedback survey. So you see, it's an interplay of different kind of business processes. You're involved with a document-centric business process, people-centric, as well as process-centric. This brings it to our first point. Having a BPM in an integration space enriches your scenarios. An enterprise can provide more holistic, more end-to-end business process to its customer. The second point, it enables new scenarios. SharePoint today has a workflow capability. And how many of you know it uses the same technology behind the scenes that we run workflow in business in BizTalk? It enables you to build vertical industry-specific solutions on top of it. We're working with some of the customers among you who are trying to build an industry-specific portal on top of BizTalk BPM. A typical example could be human resource BPM. You know, it's all about employee management, leave tracking, and other places. All right, so far so good. Now let's look at the BPM components in BizTalk. We talked about three key concepts. We need to model something, we need to run something, and we need to monitor it. This is what BizTalk has to offer today. There is a process modeler, which is a set of tools which lets you define your business process in a standard notation. The runtime is composed of two engines, a workflow engine and a rules engine. And lastly, there is BAM, which allows you to monitor a business process, gets you insight into it. We will look at each of these components in detail in the rest of the session. All right, let's talk about process modeler. It is a set of tools which lets you define a business process declaratively. Not everything in life is code. It could be simpler than that. You can use a standard notation, which is composed of a palette or a basic activities that everybody in your organization understands. You should be able to drag, drop, and draw a business process. The notation has to be simple enough and yet powerful enough to take the nuances of a complex business process and depict it. The next value it brings it is it needs to automate a business process, which means the model that you build using process modeler is the model your runtime can consume. There should be no two steps about it. You model something, you give it your runtime, and it runs it automatically. The next one is lets you define the checkpoints. It is pretty easy to get lost in a complex business process. However, every business has certain checkpoints you validate against. A modeler will let you define those checkpoints up front, which you can monitor later. It will also let you modify those checkpoints as you move on. The last, it should be repeatable. It's a predictable output given the set of input. At the same time, it needs to be flexible. Business processes are not cast in stone, not in today's world. As you start monitoring a process, you figure out there needs to be some values to be changed. It's a holiday season. You need to increase the discount. You don't want to go back to your drawing palette and start drawing the business process all over again. What it allows you for you is to allow you to set certain properties as configurable later on. There are a few things which are set and a few things that you can configure later without going back to the modeling stage, deploying it again and monitoring again. Now let's look at the key capabilities that we are looking at. This is a more futuristic slide here. We're talking about where do we take modeler from where it is in BizTalk today in the new world. The first thing we talked about in the previous slide was the notation. It has been a top ask from many of you to get to an industry-specific notation. We were talking to a few MVPs a couple of days ago. This again came as a top ask. What we are looking at is a BPM notation for modeling for the future. Second, the tooling experience. Today in BizTalk, you have a bunch of tools. For doing your process modeling, you go to Visual Studio, Process Modeler. For defining your rules, you use a Rule Composer. And for BAM, you have to deal with Excel. Going forward, we are going to be investing into giving a unified tooling. In one place, you will be able to do everything about defining a rule, defining a process, and also defining KPIs for BAM. The same surface would support all three scenarios, which is AI, B2B, and BPM. In the last, this will be supplemented by your web portal, which will let you configure the values in these processes. We are also investing in providing you a rich set of activities and templates. It should be enough for a majority of business processes. However, we understand there is no way we can give a full job for every single scenario. This is where the theme of extensibility we talked earlier come in. We will provide a first-class experience for third-party extensions. The partners can build composite activities specific to industry or process templates which encompass complex business logics. They will be able to put it on a marketplace, which the tooling would consume as a first-class citizen and give you the same experience that the native out-of-the-box activities will give you. All right, so we talked about the processes. Now let's look at some of the common patterns that are going to be shipping out of the box. And Rajesh, you're going to talk about some of those.
All right. Are you able to hear me? All right. So now let's take a look at some of the patterns and scenarios which we want to enable. And we have taken a specific set of patterns to describe in this session. And they represent a subset of the patterns that we plan to design for and enable in Windows Azure BizTalk services. So the way it's going to go is for these three patterns, I'm going to talk about what the pattern is. I'm sure everyone in this room will already know most of these patterns. And then talk it in the context of a scenario. And then see how it's going to be modeled in the BPMN or the new process flow notation. We'll start with scatter gather. And this goes back to the travel booking scenario. Unfortunately, it didn't work before, but I'll explain the flow. So the user goes to the travel booking site and says, selects the option for flight booking, hotel booking, and car booking. And based on the selection, the process has to go and reach out to the individual providers for flight, for car, and for hotel, and then get the responses back, collate together, and then send the response back. This notion of where you send the message out, collect them back together, is the notion of scatter gather. Now, let's see how it gets implemented in the process flow notation. The first thing you'll notice is all the individual elements who participate in the flow, in this case, the booking site or the individual service providers, the web services, they are already modeled in the flow explicitly. And then comes the notion saying, what do we do? How do you fan out? Then you have individual notations like the plus symbol and the other one you see over there, explicitly saying that you're doing a parallel invocation. And then finally, when you get all of these providers, you have to wait until all the responses come. So that's the wait for activity. So similar to each of the individual things, like you have basic task, you have task which does the parallel instantiation, et cetera, we have a process flow. So this is the first example of scatter gather and how it looks in the process flow notation. The second one we want to see is the notion of an inventory mobile app. So think of a scenario where there's a distributor and they have goods or items in a warehouse, and they want to create a mobile app which allows its users to go and check the inventory status. For example, do you have a specific set of goods already there in the inventory or not? So the pattern is pretty simple. The user launches a mobile app, clicks check inventory, and then gets the data from the ERP system. And the pattern which this encompasses is a synchronous request response. So you send the data. In this case, you are expecting a response back, so you have a receive and send shape. So that explicitly gives you the notation that it's a two-way channel, it's not a one-way channel. And then after you get the data, whatever you want to do, like transformation or call a specific set of shapes, you can call them. And then again, you have to call a target web service or a target endpoint. Again, since it's a two-way channel, you again call a two-way endpoint, get the response back, and then send it across. The key thing to notice here is that irrespective of the pattern, by looking at the flow, you should be able to see what happens end to end. In this case, all the way from the mobile app till the ERP service, you know that there is a two-way communication channel, and then you do a transformation before sending the message back. And the third example which you want to look is the notion of the parallel convoy scenario, where let's say you're a patient and you want to you get admitted to a hospital. One of the first few things which the hospital asks for is whether you have a medical history, medical insurance, or even your personal information details. And unless you get all of these details, you won't be enrolled into the hospital. So any of these documents can come in any order, but until you get all of these documents, your actual process won't start. So in this case, the way you model this is similar to the parallel convoy. So you have three receives where you can receive your medical insurance, medical history, or your contact information. It can come in any order. That's why you have the parallel notation to receive the messages. And until all these messages come, the process won't start. And this is an example of how you model the parallel convoy in the process flow notation. So, and all these are processes, right? You have modeled the processes, but underneath, what we are doing is we are making use of the Windows workflow and the workflow technology in .NET to actually run it and enable it in Windows Azure BizTalk services. So this is nothing new. We are taking the .NET WebF runtime and then using it in workflows. This solves all the things like it might be a messaging scenario, so it could be a long-running scenario, so whatever be it, we enable it in the new model. And we also will allow support for custom code. And now what I'll do is the same travel booking scenario, hopefully it works now. I'll show you how it works behind the scenes and how we do the scatter gather part of the equation.
Go ahead.
Yeah. All right, no, it's okay, see. All right, this is the same portal, let me key in the values. All right, let me select everything. Thankfully, it worked. Okay. Okay. So you can go ahead and select the order. So what we'll see is we also set up the individual services which makes up this process flow. So the next time I go about doing it, currently there are, I believe, 6 or 7, you will see a new entry coming in for wherein the moment you hit search, we send the message to the process flow, which is a workflow behind the scenes. It goes ahead and contacts the individual web services. So that's where you see a new entry for flight, hotel, and car booking. And then you get the responses back. And so the notation which we saw earlier, saying that you saw the diagram, saying that you get the data, fan it out, et cetera, that gets modeled to a workflow at runtime. And that workflow gets instantiated when you click the search button, and then we call the individual services. Now, if I go ahead and select the individual options, I can go ahead and place the booking as well. So I'll do it really quick. All right. So can we mount?
Okay, so we saw this demo of workflow. One of the key decisions here is going forward, .NET WebF is going to be the core of runtime for BizTalk Web Services. Let's move on to the next component, which is Rules Engine. Rules Engine is a pretty important part of any BPM. Again, first thing it does, it helps you define your business process in a declarative way. My gold customers should get 10% discount. If the gold customers bought goods worth $2,000, they should get 20%. There's a special promotion going on. If the gold customers bought $2,000 worth of goods, but the previous purchase in this week was $5,000, they get additional 5%. It is almost impossible to incorporate all these rules in a process flow. This is where a rules engine comes in. You focus on what do you want to do instead of how do you want to do it? Once again, there is no code. You configure a business rule, which helps you make intelligent decisions throughout your process. The next, and a very important one, there's a clear separation between logic and the process. You don't want your goods being sold free of cost because three different people in an organization decided to give 1/3 of the discount in three different places. There is one central place where you encompass all the rules, and then you refer them at various places in your process. Let's look at the business rules going forward. Today, BRE is by far the most popular component of BizTalk. We did a survey last year. about 60% of the customers indicated they use BRE in some form. We checked again with the customers. The feedback on the engine has been overwhelmingly positive. People like the simplicity of it, the speed with which we execute. We made a call to take the same BRE and take it to the cloud. So going forward, we're going to take the BRE and make it to the cloud, which means you get the same rate-based rules engine. It will support explicit forward chaining. And it also allows you the three type of data source which we already supported, which is XML, .NET, or DB. We talked about this earlier. There will be an integrated tooling, which is going to support vocabulary and versioning both. And there will be a web-based configuration for the rules agent. We wanted to show you a demo. I'm not sure if that can work or not, but let's skip it for the sake of it. Let's show you how a rule look like. I think whatever time we are saving, we'll put it toward the Q&A in the end. So hopefully that will be useful. You want to talk through the rule here?
All right. So in the case of travel booking, the portal which you just saw, typically employees within an organization have a booking limit. So depending on what kind of, whether you're a CTO or a manager or a like consultant or a developer, you might have different booking limits. So the way we had modeled the flow was if the person who signed in was a consultant or a manager, et cetera, what is the maximum allowed booking limit? For example, if I book my flight, travel, and car, and it comes to, like, say, $4,000, I might have a booking limit of $3,000. So it will throw an error. So we need to make sure that we model such scenarios. And there is one such example of a rule where we model such that based on the person's level, we want to set up the booking limit. And the way you get the booking limit is you do a lookup on the database saying, this is the level of the person, do a lookup on the database, and then update the booking limit. So the way you should see that is, in rule, we do a predicate match wherein if a condition is met, do something. So the way you should read it is the bottommost right, saying that take the employee level based on the incoming message. The runtime processes the message to the rule engine. The rule engine takes the employee level, does a lookup with the database, and then sends the message back and updates the booking limit element, so from right to left. So this is one rule we model, and we have modeled as a rule demo as well. So hopefully towards the end, if the demo works, we'll switch back and show it to you.
Okay. All right, the last component we're gonna talk about here is BAM. Unlike IT monitoring, which focuses on the health of your computers, BAM focuses on the health of your business. BAM allows you to identify the bottlenecks in your process. It helps you get the key KPIs that you want to monitor for your business. For example, are my gold customers being served within the SLA that I've signed up for? You can also monitor the exceptions in your process. How many of the messages failed? What are the primary root cause of the messages being failed in my system? You can do aggregation based on these counters. What percentage of my customers were not served in the last 1 month? Which helps you go back to the previous point, which say you want to improve your business processes. Let's look at some of the values. You're able to measure against the defined KPIs. There are certain KPIs which the runtime would keep track of your own. But however, based on the messages flowing through the system, you will be able to identify and monitor the KPIs. You can define an alerting system on top of it, which means if the SLA has been breached or you see a risk, you can get an alert thrown. You will be able to track the status of individual messages. Take an example of tracking a courier packet. You know, you give an airwayable number, it tells you exactly where from Seattle to New York, where your packet is lying. One of the very important aspects here is we're going to use the same view with which you model to track the messages. It is an immense value. Instead of going through the table and the log values, the model that you saw in the beginning, we're going to take the same model and help you track the status of your business on the same model. Another key differentiation between BAM and an IT Insights is that BAM is real time. IT Insight lets you track data from databases, runs a bunch of query, and generate reports on top of it. A BAM lets you get a peek into the system in real time. As the messages are going through the system, you would be able to get an insight into it. Let's look at an example here. We just saw a travel booking. Here are some of the questions that you want to monitor as a business process owner. You want to find out the KPI in terms of time it took for a customer to complete a booking. You may also want to know what is the most popular route on this travel portal. You can bargain with airlines a better price for those routes. You may also want an aggregation view, which is how much of a booking was made from each cost center so that you can send them a consolidated bill. Let's see, how would you do that? This is the same model that we saw earlier, you know, using which we defined our business process. You identify the milestones at which you want to monitor your process. In this case, it's going to be the beginning of a booking and ending of a booking. You start tracking the properties you want to. Things like start and end time are automatically done for you. You can also choose KPIs from the message. For example, origin and destination, or the amount and the cost center with which the booking was done. You do it in the modeling phase. And using these KPIs, you would be able to define an SLA in terms of time. You can say the timer start and the timer end, the difference cannot be more than 15 seconds. That's the SLA you can define on top of it. Should this SLA be breached on runtime, you can get notified with an alert. The second set of things is to troubleshoot. Let's say your customers report they aren't seeing any hotel bookings. Now, in a live system, how do you track that? You will have a message tracking view. You're going to see the messages are stuck more than the defined SLA into one stage. You can click on those and get the root cause of the message exception failures. I'm not going through all the detail. You can also have an aggregated view on top of it to say, show me all the failed messages in a bucket, which can be assigned to somebody in the organization who can look at it and, you know, clear those bookings. Okay. So these are the key capabilities we are looking at a BAM as we are looking at BAM for the future. You would be able to identify what properties to track at modeling time. You can create aggregated reports on top of it. Similarly, you will be able to track individual messages. And all this would be available on a BAM portal. It's a single window which gives you an insight into your business processes. All right, let's put it all together. So you start with a process modeler. You will be able to deploy your processes into an artifact store, which is nothing but a repository in the cloud. This is where your business analysts and developers work on. Using the same modeler, you would also be able to generate composite activities or your business-specific processes that you would like to sell on a marketplace, or you can use marketplace to import some of those activities. The next component is the service management portal. Using the portal, you would be able to deploy your processes onto runtime. You would be able to change configurations, the runtime properties that you make modifications to as the process is running. You can also start or stop processes at runtime using the service management portal. The third one is the BAM portal, which connects your runtime and shows you all the KPIs and data that you need. All right. Towards the end of the session, let me just reiterate the key takeaways. We are investing heavily into the BPM solution. We are actively considering using BPMN as a standard notation for modeling. .NET WF is going to be the workflow engine of the future. Rules engine will be very similar to what you have on BizTalk server today. Tooling is going to be another focus area. There will be unified tooling, which lets you do all the tasks that you do at modeling stage. And there will be a BAM portal, which lets you get insight into your processes. The activities and the process templates are going to be extensible. Our partners have an opportunity here to create business value and make it available for the larger community. Partners can also build vertical solutions on top of BizTalk services. I think I'm towards the end of it. I'll take questions after this if you guys have any. Yes, we are looking at a BPMN, and the concept that you are talking, we are defining those. We will have a sessions later in the game when we are closer to the final shape that we are shipping in. But yes, the concept that you are talking are coming in.
And how does this relate to Workflow Manager 1.0 or Workflow Manager as a whole and SharePoint Workflow?
The technology behind the two is same. The notation may or may not be. As a user, you don't need to worry about how does the mapping happen. What we are saying is you will be able to use BPMN notation to model your processes, and it will run.